Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the
good morning and welcome to Jonesy, the show that brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio, theater, music, food, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones, no relation, by the way. On today's episode, we travel virtually across the Cascades to the small town of Athena, population 1,211, nestled between Pendleton and the Washington state border in eastern Oregon. Our destination is the Gem Theater, built in 1901 as an early brew pub or saloon, as they were called then, which morphed into a movie theater in 1909, closed down at the start of the Great Depression, reopened in 1938, closed again in 1968, and lay empty and neglected for many years, until now, that is. The rebirth of the Gem is due in large part to our guests, Rob McIntyre and Elsa Rogers. Rob is project manager and the visionary behind the newly renovated theater. He's also the soon-to-be-retired head of the music department in the Weston McEwen School District. Elsa, now a freshman at the University of Oregon, has been a valuable resource on the Gem Theater project, going back to her days as a fifth grader and a student of Rob's in Athena. And full disclosure, Elsa is my grandniece, and I'm very proud of her. Please join us for our conversation with Rob and Elsa, which is already in progress. Well, Rob and Elsa, thanks for joining us today. Rob from Athena, Oregon, and Elsa from the University of Oregon in Eugene.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, Rob, when prepping for the interview, I learned so much about the history of the Gem and all the work and time you and Elsa and a crew of volunteers put in to bring it back to life. Just an incredible story of vision, community, and perseverance. Now, the Gem itself, at least the structure, goes back to 1901, and it originally opened as a saloon and restaurant run by a local company, Jacob Betts Brewing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Walla Walla company.
And then it became a movie theater in 1909. And I think there's an interesting story connected with why the saloon shut down and movies moved in.
Sure. Well, Athena was, and I think probably still is, a very conservative community in those days. The churches, I think there were five churches in Athena. There was a powerful political force, and they actually managed to get a local law passed in 1906, I think, that closed the saloons, and that was 10 years before National Prohibition. So the Betts Brewery didn't get a real good return on their attempt to open a saloon.
Now, as part of the Gem restoration, you're adding a saloon restaurant called the Star Saloon in the lobby of the theater. Is that a tribute to the building's roots? And I kind of wonder, was that the name of the saloon that was built in 1901?
Yeah. It was the Jacob Betts Star Brewery, and that built a whole series of these saloons in towns in an area around Walla Walla with the intent of, you know, dispensing Betts beer. Yeah, we're not really opening a saloon or a... I've been accused of that.
No, well,
I didn't get a very good response. The people say you're opening a saloon. I said no. I just put a saloon sign on the front of the building.
Well, now they call them brew pubs, I think, just food and beer.
Well, they see the back bar and they just they make the assumption, but really that's just the concessions area for the theater.
Now, when it became a theater, so that was in 1909. Was that for live performance like vaudeville at the time, or were they showing those very early silent films?
Very early silent films. And there was a local band that played on the stage. It was kind of like a carryover from the Olio days, where, you know, you would have a group of musicians go out. They go out in between reels and play.
And in those days before television and the internet, which is hard to conceive of now, a movie theater, especially one in a small town, was a cultural and entertainment center. So the Gem must have played an important role in bringing people together in Athena from its inception to its demise in 1968.
Well, there were a couple of windows in there where it was closed during the Depression. Transition to talkies and the Depression kind of happened at the same time. And that talking equipment was expensive. Nobody had the money here in Athena at that time to make that leap. So it closed for about 10 years. But yeah, it was known by different names. I was 38 when it was reopened as a talking theater that it became the Gem. And that's the way anyone who's alive locally remembers it now. But it was called the Dime Theater originally. And then it was the People's Theater, the Dreamland. That's actually my favorite name, was the Dreamland.
Oh, perfect for a movie theater. And then a very poor name or generic name, the Standard, I think, during World War One.
Yeah, I didn't care for that name.
No. Now, what are some of the memories Athena residents have shared with you? Some might still be in town who probably not back then in 1909 or pre-World War I days, but through 1968. You know, it's got such a long history.
Well, we've been at this for 20 years, Ken. So, I mean, I actually knew a lady, she's gone now, but she was born here in 1906 and lived in Athena her whole life. And she remembered going to a Charlie Chaplin film in 1914. She said, as you know, that's pretty early. And I guess in those days, the films arrived by train. So the depot was down the street, and there were occasions where the train was late, so the movie didn't arrive on time. So the crowd would go, I guess, this is according to Charlotte Cannon, they'd go down to the depot and wait for the train to arrive, and then they'd carry the film back up to the theater and show it. So that's the earliest memory we have. And then Charlotte in the 20s dated the projectionist. And I guess in those days there was no balcony. We don't really have any pictures of the inside of the building from this era, but there was a crow's nest, she described it. She had to climb up in there. And she'd go up there because she was dating the projectionist at the time and watch the films. So that's a memory. I guess the St. Nicholas Hotel, which is across the street, currently under some form of renovation. We're not exactly sure what's going on there. But there was a restaurant called Kilgore's, and everybody would go over there and have a hamburger afterwards. So we've got a lot of memories of the building.
We mentioned it closed down a few times, and I think it was in 1936 that it actually reopened and was starting to be called the Gem Theater.
37 was the remodel, and it opened in 38. Yeah.
And that was purchased by an Eastern Oregon businessman who had a string of small theaters, maybe in Pendleton around Eastern Oregon.
L.A. Moore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a string of theaters all the way over to Goldendale. Down to Arlington, Hermiston. There are still a lot of people in Hermiston who knew L.A. Moore. I wish I could have met him. I missed him by a couple of years, but he would have been a fascinating. He really was a pioneer in bringing talking motion pictures out to this part of the country. And he would, this was according to his daughter, they'd do something called bicycling the film.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, they put the canisters in the back of the car and just move it by vehicle that way from each of their motion picture theaters that were scattered around.
The theater under Mr. Moore closed again in 1968, and it just sat empty, gathering cobwebs for many years. When did you first learn about the Gem, and when did you first come up with the idea to bring it back to life?
Well, I'm weird. When I first pulled into this town in 2000, I was applying for the band directing job here. This was in the fall of 2000, and I actually walked down the street and tried to look inside the building. It was all boarded up. I don't know. I always had in the back of my head that this was something I'd end up doing if I could find a place that had a building like this, and if I could find a place where I could settle and, you know, teach music and raise my family. So I don't know. It's an idea that had been in my head for a long time.
To open a movie theater?
To restore a theater.
Oh, restore a theater. Ah.
And then open it as a, you know, a regional fine arts community, because let's face it, we're terribly underserved in these places when it comes to culture and the arts. It's just, we're all kind of like, you know, John the Baptist just out in the wild eating locusts and honey. You know?
So yes, it's a little different out there in Eastern Oregon, but now you have this nice new cultural center. What was your original vision for the Gem? The project includes not just the theater, but the Star Saloon, well, the restaurant in the lobby, the concession stand, as we mentioned, and a museum also devoted to Hodaka Trail Bikes, which was a company based in Athena, and also a few apartments you plan to rent out to help pay expenses.
Yeah, we have an apartment. It's one of the things that you have to consider, or at least I think you do when you plan something like this. It's one thing to raise the money to put it together. It's another thing to keep the lights on. So we have a 26 kilowatt, we're a Pacific Power Blue Sky project. We have a 26 kilowatt solar array on the roof, and then we have the apartment. So, you know, just cash flow, I guess, is what we were after. And then keeping our utility expenses down.
Yeah, you're amazing, Rob. I mean, you've worn so many hats here, not just raising funds, planning the entire renovation, doing a lot of the work yourself, doing social media, doing design, which we'll get into, of the mural on the exterior wall of the gem. Did you have any experience in project management or construction before starting work on the theater?
Well, I restored a house, and I'd restored a car when I was just a 10-year-old kid. I started collecting the parts for a Model T Ford and built the whole thing out of pieces. And it took me 15 years to finish it.
So you have persistence and patience. You've developed that.
Well, stubbornness.
Another way of putting it.
Yeah, Elsa's shaking her head up and down. She knows that stubborn streak.
Yeah, I want to ask, Elsa, you were such a big part of that community support from the time you were a student of Rob's. I think that goes back to fifth grade. About 8 years ago, what were your first memories of the gem, maybe before even meeting Rob, and how did you get recruited for the project?
I don't have a lot of memories of the gem before I started volunteering with it, but I do remember being in like fifth or sixth grade. We're all sitting there in the band class, and Mr. Mack was telling us about the theater that he was fixing up downtown, and I thought, you know, like, that's the coolest thing ever. I didn't know there was a movie theater in Athena, and, you know, there's not, but there will be. It was definitely kind of an alluring hook. So, you know, one Saturday I decided to go down. I knew several other friends that did it as well. So we would go down there on Saturdays and help with laying brick and staining wood and like whatever Mr. Mack wanted to put us on. But it was so much fun to help with that. I just remember having just the best time.
And your involvement in the project, as I mentioned, goes back 8 years. Rob had already been working on it for 12 years or so by that point. I know there were obstacles along the way, including the COVID pandemic, which probably set things back about 2 or 3 years. Now, with the official grand opening around the corner, probably later this year, and the gym already hosting a few events, did you have your doubts that it would ever get to this point?
No, because I know Mac. We mentioned Mac's stubborn streak and the persistence, but you know, I know that this is going to be finished. I'm very excited to see when the project is done, and I just can't wait to be in the gym when it's finished.
Now, Rob, I should get to you about that. We've mentioned the great support you got from your students like Elsa and the Athena community. I've listened to a previous interview you did for OPB. You mentioned there were a few naysayers along the way, and a project of that scope and length, sometimes with no end in sight, can have its low points. But as someone commented on one of your Facebook posts, "You, my friend, are a diehard who never says never. Where there is a Rob, there is a way." Now, what kept you going? Was it that stubbornness, that stubborn streak?
You know, my stubborn streak has got me in trouble a few times. I've learned how to temper it over to the years. It's just a building. I mean, if we're granted health and enough time, there was just no doubt that it was going to get done. It's the problem is, and I suppose this is not unique to Northeast Oregon, but you have these big talkers, you know, then they're out here. And so you get lumped in this category with the big talkers when you're starting something like this. Well, I mean, I knew when I was saying I was going to do it that I had every intention of following through. But not a lot of people follow through. They just talk. So there was, I guess, skepticism up front. There was concern that somehow I was going to raise their taxes by doing this. And I wasn't really, yeah, Elsa's pointing her head. It's not, I never had any intention of really, you know, going after some bond or something to do this. I always knew it'd be a grassroots thing. But it took a few years to get that to quiet down. Some of it was pretty overt, you know, what people would say to me. But I just told people I was going to outlive them. So
has anybody come around now that you've made so much progress and you're about to have your grand opening? You've already had shows.
Oh, sure.
Apologized. And
no, they don't apologize. They just come around. It's fine. The facility is for everybody in the community. But I hope that, you know, if there's a lesson to take away from this, is that you can do these things. That being in a small town doesn't mean you have to think small thoughts. You can do these things. And I wish more people would.
Now, the first performance at the gym before an audience, a paying audience in 55 years, was last December, December 7th. The featured attraction was a concert of Christmas songs by several of your school bands, Rob, and even an Elvis impersonator when they played Blue Christmas. I'm going to sound like a lame sideline reporter at a sports event, but I'm just wondering what you were feeling that night, looking out at the crowd, a full house, by the way, watching them enjoy the show. It must have been extremely satisfying.
Well, to be honest, I've fallen apart a couple of times when we've started opening this thing. I kind of had to remove myself. It wasn't a paying crowd. That was just for the parents. It was the Christmas program. Since, you know, I've spent my whole career doing this, and I'm actually retiring from teaching this year full time. I needed to get that facility open so that the community and the school could see how it could be used. Because there's always a concern that somebody else will come along and not really get it. So I had to build that bridge.
Oh, kind of a proof of concept rather than a grand opening.
What's possible about how it can be used by the school and by the kids. I mean, it was originally, when it was conceived, it was for the youth in this community. And that's, you know, the youth have been so heavily involved in it over the years. You know, that's, it's evolved into other things, but that was the original concept.
Elsa, were you in the audience that night, December 7th?
I was not able to attend the concert because, if I remember right, I was still at school. But I do remember seeing like Facebook posts and stuff about it and hearing about it from my parents and just, oh man, I wish I could have been there.
Now, Rob had mentioned some of the other events also for some of the younger people in the community. So since the December concert, there's been a showing of a cult movie, Sasquatch, The Legend of Bigfoot, and a live performance by, I think, a Pendleton band, J.D. Kindle, mm-hmm. and his country combo. And there's also an onstage radio play, My Love is Radio Theater, scheduled in May, performed by a troupe of high school actors. It's called Kit Corbin and the Lost Mine of Potrero Springs. So the gym will host this variety of cultural events. Elsa, do you have a wish list of events you'd like to see play the gym?
I am very excited for more movies to be shown in there. I am actually like a cinema studies major, cinema studies and business at the University of Oregon. So film is like my thing. And I absolutely cannot wait to see more films being played in the gym. And just beyond that, seeing like the role that the gym will play in the community and inviting these kind of arts into this small community, because I mean, I grew up in Athena and it has been really strange to move to the big city in my mind in Eugene and see all of the stuff that's going on. Just like the idea of having a facility like that just down the street is completely out of the question in my mind, but I absolutely cannot wait to see the opportunities that the gym will bring for Athena. I think it's going to be really amazing and we just don't even know how awesome it will be yet.
We should mention that movie that I think Rob has in mind for the grand opening. We already said that Sasquatch played. I think there were two showings a few weeks ago. And it was the first movie projected at the gym, I think, since 1968. But it was more of a dry run. Since you're planning to show a much older film classic, one with roots in Athena, at the official grand opening, and that's City Girl, which was filmed in and around Athena in 1928 by a great German director, F.W. Murnau, and I'd never heard of it. Murnau was famous. Well, he died young, unfortunately, tragically, I think in a car accident, but he was famous for the film Nosferatu, a master of German expressionism. But by the late 1920s, he had moved to Hollywood, made City Girls as a silent picture just before talkies came in. So kind of a recipe for disaster. Rob, how did you learn about City Girls and its connection to Athena?
Well, we were reading in the Athena Press on microfilm and just in some paper copies that are available about the history of our building, because no one really knew very much about it when we started. And I ran across in 1928, August of 1928, a clipping mentioning that Murnau was in town and using local farmhands and local stock was producing this film that he was calling at that time Our Daily Bread. It was called Our Daily Bread, and it was described as his symphony in wheat. So, I mean, I'm not a tremendous film historian, but I saw Murnau, and it's like, I could not believe what I was seeing, that Murnau had been here. And then, of course, I asked Charlotte Cannon, the old gal we were talking about, she was still alive. She said, oh, yeah. She says, my first husband, Claude, was one of the farmhands in that movie.
Ah, that's amazing. You know, my wife and I actually saw it recently. But we saw a movie, it was a silent movie, but it was completely without sound. There was no music background or anything like that. And the plot's about the son of a wheat rancher in Minnesota. He visits Chicago to sell his family's crop. He meets and falls in love with a waitress in Chicago, and that's the city girl of the title, marries her, brings her back to the family farm, which is not Minnesota. I mean, it is in the movie, but it was actually shot in location near Athena. As you mentioned, it featured local farmhands, livestock, also extremely fascinating, some of the wheat harvesting equipment from that time. So really, it's kind of not just this important part of American cinema, but also a big part of Eastern Oregon history and the history of film in Oregon.
Right. I agree. The scenes where they were harvesting the wheat are just fascinating to me. How they shot that in 1928. And I guess another first for that film was there's a scene where the two leads, Mary Duncan and Charlie Farrell, were running across a wheat field that was shot from a moving platform. And I guess that was the first instance of shooting a cinema film from a moving platform ever, anywhere.
It's really a very well-made movie, well-directed, well-acted, and it had me going the entire time, even though there was no sound coming out, which is unusual when you're seeing a movie today, even a silent film. Now, there's a mural commemorating City Girl on the exterior wall of the gym, and I think, Rob, among the many other roles you played in restoring the theater, you also designed the mural?
I did, along with some kids. I think, Mel, Elsa, you might have had a hand or two in that. Didn't you, when we were looking at the pictures in class, you don't remember that?
I don't think so, no.
Before your time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to find City Girl ephemera. It really is hard to find. There's a lot of Murnau materials out there. Not a lot on City Girl. I mean, we used stills, and I essentially created a big lobby card on the side of the building is what I did. And then we have a local company in Walla Walla, Integrity Design, John Sasser. I know the name's not going to mean anything to you, but he's another artist with a longstanding connection to our area. And man, he just jumped on it. I gave him a rough draft of what I wanted, and what he produced was just phenomenal.
I was going to say, when you asked Elsa if she participated, her mom, so my niece, Amy Rogers, is a brilliant graphic designer. And I think she did the logo for the Prodigal Son pub in Pendleton. So I was curious whether she had a hand in it, but apparently not.
Not that one, but Amy's done a lot of things for the theater, for sure.
Now, in addition to the mural itself, the gem, and I think due to you, Rob, is now a landmark on the Oregon Film Trail. And there's a sign there giving the history of the film and the on-location shoot. It even mentions that the film's leading lady, you mentioned her name, Mary Duncan, was named honorary queen of the 1928 Pendleton Roundup. Apparently the cast and the crew were all living in Pendleton when they were shooting here. But City Girl, sadly, never screened at the Gem, and you intend to remedy that with the grand opening. Do you have plans yet for that big event and what needs to be done before you set a date?
Well, we've still got some equipment that we have to raise the money to buy for the stage. I'm still working on that. It's like the last, you know, $200,000 I've got to come up with to buy all this equipment. We're working on it. I mean, I'm loathe to say where we're going to open on this date until I can see the end there. But, you know, it certainly could happen. It'd be beautiful. It could happen this year because this is year 20, believe it or not. we started as a city committee in 2004. I was one of the original members. I'm the only one left that's still involved. Would love to be done this year. Would love it. But yeah, we're going to work with the Oregon Film Office, the Governor's Film Office. These are people that have, you know, occasionally been out here visiting us and are really great supporters of the project. And so they'll be a part of that screening. There's been some talk about bringing some musicians out.
Oh, I was going to ask about that because, again, the version I saw was completely silent, no music. But in those days, they would have at least an organist or a keyboardist, but sometimes a small orchestra doing the soundtrack for the movie. So you have plans maybe for some live music to back up the film?
There is a new score that's been created in the last 10 years or so for the City Girl soundtrack. And John Paul, I believe, is his name. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I haven't talked to him in a long time. But that score has been, it's been shown out in this area. It was shown in Pendleton. And I think the local symphony there played along. I went to that performance, but it hasn't been here, no.
Now, Elsa, when you return home to Athena now, you must feel this great sense of pride and accomplishment when you walk past the gym.
I definitely do. It's right on Main Street. So, of course, you know, I drive by it all the time. I walk by it all the time. And it's just really awesome to see the progress that's been made on it over the past 20 years. It's looking great. It's, I don't know what to say after that. It's looking great.
Do you notice any change in the community, maybe among some of your friends who are Rob students now that the gym is back? Maybe the sense of bonding from all the work, fundraising, and hope that went into the renovation to making this a reality?
You know, I definitely do. I feel like most of the naysayers were definitely not from the student group. I mean, most of the students, you know, we love Mac. He's our band teacher. And the people that were involved in the GEM project from the beginning, of course, were super involved with trying to get it off the ground. But the students who became involved with the project, they never didn't believe that it would be finished. So there wasn't that kind of negative sentiment among the students that there was among some of the older adults, like Mac was mentioning.
At the risk of embarrassing Rob or Mac, Elsa, there's got to be something about him. I mean, a great teacher, this inspirational leader, almost like Moses in the desert, you know, 20 years. It's just incredible.
And by the way, he didn't enter the promised land either, and I have every intention of
Yes, yeah, stick around, please. So it just must be an incredible person to inspire all this, to lead this project, all the while teaching several school bands.
Oh, man, I would definitely say that Mr. Mack is an icon in the best way possible. He, to me, represents just the best that the Athena West School District, the Athena community, and everywhere else has to offer. He is an amazing teacher. He's so involved with his students and just the community itself. And some of my best memories from my years in the school district are in Mr. Mack's classroom, you know, honking away on my saxophone, messing around with my friends. I love it. And I think it's going to be a real loss to the district when Mr. Mack finally retires. But oh man, will that retirement be deserved?
Maybe you could give a little speech at the retirement party. And Rob, we already mentioned that after 24 years, you will be retiring, I think, at the end of the year, but you'll still be involved with the GEM?
Oh, I'm going to be involved with the GEM, and I'll probably be involved some with the school. It's just, you hit 60 and your body starts telling you things that you need to do a little bit differently.
You're a mere youth compared to me.
Well, I know, but
I'll turn 20 this year.
I'm just not going to work as hard, you know. I want to run the theater. I want to develop the model for running it. And I'll be involved probably in teaching a theater class. That's a whole brand new critter for Athena Weston School District.
And that's the group that's doing the radio play?
Right. This is their first year. And we got 14 kids to do it. None of them have ever done anything like this. So we're starting with something kind of light, and they'll see what it's all about, standing out on the stage and delivering their lines. I think there's a lot of potential for growth there. I'm not sure exactly. Of course, you know, we're a bagpipe band here in Athena, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. if I can find a suitable candidate to run the band program, I said I'd help keep the bagpipes going for a little while. I mean, we'll just have to see what happens. There's not a lot of young music teachers out there, unfortunately.
It's not given the support as much as it should be in schools all over the country.
No, and then the colleges aren't producing the graduates in the field either. So it's just this cycle of downward availability as far as having people who will come into these places and do the job.
Now, you and the project team installed a time capsule in one of the walls of the Jam to be opened, I think, in 100 years. In a previous interview, that same one with OPB, you mentioned a letter you wrote for the time capsule that was hard for you to write and maybe to read back. Most of us won't be here when they open the capsule in the year 2123. Could you give us a preview of the letter, or is that?
Well, I can tell you that it mentioned a couple of things, that we are stronger when we work together than we are when we work individually on something. That was kind of the gist of it. And that the people who were opening the wall to find this material, that they'd better be planning to renovate the building instead of tearing it down.
Yes.
What all of us went through.
We will come back from the grave if they don't.
Well, Mr. Mack will haunt you.
Right.
Maybe so. You know, and then there was sort of a tip to the, we put a skeleton in the wall.
Oh, Dr. No, you call him, right?
Dr. No. And Dr. No represents that mindset of those folks at the beginning that just really, some of them were just nasty about the whole thing and what we were trying to do. And I could never really entirely understand. It's one thing to stand aside and badmouth somebody who's trying to do something creative and good. It's another thing entirely to badmouth them and try to stop them from doing it at the same time. And we had some of that. I don't understand that thinking. It's like you have nothing to bring to the table, so you pound your fist and you try to prevent other people from doing beautiful, creative things. Why? What do you gain from this? So now I'm up on my soapbox. that was definitely in the letter.
I think that's something that visionaries have faced for hundreds, if not thousands of years, Rob.
there's
always the critics. Well, Rob and Elsa, thanks so much for talking with me today and for demonstrating the magic of the movies and movie theaters, and most of all, the importance of community in Athena, as well as small and big towns all over the state.
You bet.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode of Jonesy here on KBOO Community Radio. If you missed any part of the show, would like to hear the longer, unexpurgated version, the F.W. Murnau cut, you might call it, if we had a good director, you can listen anytime on demand at kboo.fm/program/Jonesy, Jonesy, or just search for it on the KBOO website. Before we head out the door, a big thank you to our guest today, Rob McIntyre and Elsa Rogers. Rob is project manager for the newly restored Gem Theater in Athena, Oregon. Under Rob's direction, the Gem is open again after 20 years of hard work from community volunteers like Elsa, who's been a valuable resource on the project since her days as a fifth grader. You can learn more about the Gem Theater, its history, the restoration project, and all its upcoming events online at Gem Theater, that's theater spelled with an R-E.org. They also have a very informative Facebook page, Athena's Gem Inc., which documents the project. Just to note that KBOO is your community radio station. We get over 80% of our funding from our members. It's our winter membership drive, so there's no better time to show your support for the station and programming like this by becoming a member yourself or renewing your membership. Just go online to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. All of us here at the station, even Jonesy himself, thank you for that. Jonesy, by the way, comes to you every other week on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Tune in for our next show on Thursday, March 14th at 11 a.m. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying,
you see, this is my life. It always will be. There's nothing else. Just us. And the cameras. And those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.